Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. Our guest today, Andy Fleischman, president and CEO of the Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters. It is a wonderful organization. It's not typical either. You're helping kids realize their potential and build their futures. It's nurturing. It's strengthening in our communities. And you guys do so much great stuff. And it's really amazing. I'm glad that we have this opportunity to let everybody know all of the great things that you guys do as an organization right here in Connecticut.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Mary. Really looking forward to it.
Now, everybody thinks they know what Big Brothers Big Sisters is and what they do, but Nutmeg Big Brothers and Big Sisters is one of the nation's oldest and most respected youth mentoring organizations. And I really think that people need to know a little bit more about our organization specifically.
So, the national organization started in 1904 in Lower Manhattan when some guys working there noticed some kids on the street who seemed to be not in school and lacking guidance. The Connecticut organization started in the 1960s in Middletown, Connecticut.
Nice.
And there were a couple of guys who were retailers in Middletown who had the sense that in their community, as in New York, there was a need. And it has grown from there. Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters now serves 132 of the 169 municipalities in the state of Connecticut. And we serve we served over 1,300 children last year. And it's all about one-to-one mentoring.
And that is really so important in kids' lives, the relationship between children who may be more vulnerable than others that maybe don't have the parental figure in their life, making sure that there's an adult that's showing these kids the right way and they're not getting lost.
Right. And just to be clear, most of the kids we serve have a parent in their lives. Mm-hmm. About 81% of the kids we serve are living in households with a single parent or a guardian, like an aunt or a grandmother. But what's typically lacking is enough time on the part of the adults. You know, if you've got a single mom who's raising five kids, there's a good chance that you have some children who are maybe not getting quite as much quality time with an adult as a child who's growing up in a household with two adults or an adult who's a full-time homemaker or something like that. So, and there are sort of elements out there who are competing for kids' time.
You Absolutely.
Know, if a kid's growing up in a tough urban neighborhood in our state, there's a chance that there's some kind of a crew living on their block or their neighborhood that's saying, hey, come with us, come hang with us, you can make some good money. And we're competing with those bad influences to spend time with these kids and make sure they realize their full potential.
And that's the thing. You talk to people from documentaries about gangs. You see that they're like, why did you join a gang? And they're like, because the gang made me feel like I had a family. Mm-hmm. And it's not that these kids don't have families at home. It really is. Sometimes that mom's working a couple of jobs to make ends meet. And she doesn't have, you know, all the time in the world to focus and give that amount of attention to her children. And it happens to all of us. You know, kids get sometimes lost in the shuffle of the hectic way of life is working out around us. And these kids need it. They need the attention and they need the direction to show them that there's paths you can follow and paths you don't want to go down.
That's right. And, you know, just an adult taking the time, and it's not a ton of time. We ask for 6 to 10 hours a month, which is typically a couple weekends because, you know, you set aside time to take a kid to a ball game or to go out to play in the park, and you schedule it for – or you think of it mentally as something that'll be an hour and a half, and next thing you know, it's two and a half, 3 hours because things happen with kids. So it's you know, 2-3 weekends where you're just – committing to spending time with the child. And that commitment to show that you care, that you're going to be consistent, that they matter in your life. And that is the most important thing. Kids aren't necessarily looking for lectures or explanations of how to live life. Oftentimes, they're just watching. And the things that you do are what are most influential to a child.
And it's not all about homework. You know, it's not about making sure kids do homework or have you done your math work and being the finger wagger.
Absolutely not. In fact, we have some big brothers and big sisters who help their littles with homework, and we have others who really don't go near that for at all or just occasionally because...
Yeah, because new math is hard.
Well, yeah, there's that. Absolutely. There's always a diagram that's not the one that was used 20 years ago. But in addition... So you got it when you talked about finger wagging. We want to have adults who are building relationships with kids so that the kids feel valued, feel cared for. If you have someone who's busy kind of trying to make sure that this or that is done and be a sort of an authoritarian figure, that's not necessarily a person who's going to build the relationship that the child needs at that point in their life.
So your goal is to improve the lives of kids. What age?
So we will match children as young as 5, and we serve kids up through high school graduation or age 18. Currently, we actually think that that's a little bit too limited because, you know, kids aren't finished growing at age 18.
You're right.
And in terms of their physical being, I mean, the science shows that brain development continues through age 25. And then in terms of personal growth, you know, a kid finishes high school, they're not set for life. So we're actually looking at providing supports past that. But for now, it's under the national model, it's ages 5 to 18.
And this is all in hopes that you're going to enable these kids to become productive, responsible members of society that have had a connection with someone and feel... like someone cares about them. Not that parents don't care, but just that extra that kids need.
Right. So the goal is to have the goal of our organization is similar to the goal that virtually every parent has. You want a child to grow up and end up in a career that works for them, end up with relationships that are healthy, end up being caring, contributing members of their community. So those are the type of aspirations we have for our kids. And it's interesting, there's a study that's going to come out shortly done by a doctoral candidate at Harvard who went and tracked the IRS data for children mentored by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, their parents or guardians, and their mentors. And over the course of a lifetime, the career path and earnings of little brothers and sisters was more similar to that of their mentors than of their parents.
Because isn't that something?
As long as you're matched for a year or more, that relationship becomes so influential that the child ends up emulating that big brother or big sister more than almost anyone else in their life.
Now, that's very interesting. So do you match kids up? When I was a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I never imagined that I would be in radio. But do you match kids up per interest? I mean, how do you figure it out who's going to be a great match from a mentor to a child?
That's a great question. So we do ask both the kids who were bringing into the program and volunteers who've applied to answer an array of questions about their interests and their hobbies and things they like to do. And we try and make matches that reflect those interests and personality characteristics. So I was talking to a former Big Brother. Actually, he still considers himself a big brother, even though he's now in his 80s and his little brother is in his 50s.
Wow.
And he was telling me that when they were matched, he and his little brother, they both like certain sports and they had a few superficial things in common. This big brother had been trained as an engineer. And the first time they went out, they were at Friendly's and they ordered Sundays and there was a long spoon. And so the big brother asked the little brother about why there was this long spoon for his hot fudge sundae. So the kid looked at the sundae, looked at the spoon and said, well, the longer spoon allows you to get to the bottom of the sundae. And so the big brother said, great job. I'll tell you something, kid. I think you've got the makings of an engineer. And
create a spark.
Fast forward, that young man went to the same engineering college, RPI, that his big brother had gone to. When he graduated from RPI, his first job out of college was at the same corporation that his big brother had worked at. The little brother didn't end up doing all the exact same things as his big brother, but that notion that you have potential to do these great things, and I see it in you. That's what Cy did for Ed, and that's what our big brothers and big sisters aim to do for their littles.
Okay, the mom in me wants to know. They still hang out, right?
They do. In fact, Ed lives in central Connecticut. Cy lives in New York. Cy comes up to Connecticut regularly to visit with Ed and his kids.
Wow, I love that. And that's a good suggestion also, is that it's not just all young people that can be big brothers or big sisters. I mean, grandparents that are out there who are empty nesters, who maybe are looking for a way to value their time as well.
Yeah, so I would say that we kind of have a two-bump distribution of ages for volunteers. We have the folks who haven't yet had kids, who are in their 20s and 30s, who know that they love kids and they want to give the time. And then we have people who whose kids have sort of moved up and out, and they have the extra time and care. As long as you are ready to commit yourself to a child and be consistent in their life and caring, you have what it takes to be a good mentor.
And that's the whole thing, is the consistency and the obligation for a big brother or a big sister in the Nutmeg organization is how much in a month?
For community-based mentoring, we ask for 6 to 10 hours per month. We also have school-based mentoring for people who aren't necessarily ready to go ahead and pick up kids at their front door. So in those programs, it's typically 90 minutes a week during the school year, where, say, on a certain day after school, you go to the school or they come to your workplace for 90 minutes.
Okay, so they can do stuff in the parameters of someplace that the kids are all the time, and it's a comfortable environment.
Right. And we have a coordinator who's on site who greets the littles and the bigs, make sure that they have some activities to sort of keep them focused.
A small plan of action.
Exactly.
And then grow from there. It's always nice to have a small plan and then spontaneously see where things go.
You've got it.
All right. So if someone out there is listening right now and they're thinking, this is something I can do, I've got 6 to 10 hours. And I'm a fun person. I can do lots of cool stuff. I've got what it takes to be a big brother or a big sister. How do they go about becoming one?
Well, they could just give us a call. Instead of sort of reading off address and stuff, I say Google Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters. You'll find our website. You can apply to be a volunteer right online. If you just Googled Big Brothers Big Sisters and left out the Nutmeg, you'd probably go to the national website and you put in your zip code, enter your information, you get directed to us.
And here's the thing, if you're driving in the car right now or you're listening at home and you're interested, the website is nbbbs.org. I'll have that all up on the WRCH webpage, and you'll be able to check it out and do a click through, and it'll be nice and easy for you. So don't worry, I'll have it all up there. 100 years of Big Brothers Big Sisters nationwide, combined with 51 years of Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters mentoring successes in Connecticut. There's four different ways that you can participate, and like we said, there's the community-based program, which is what everybody thinks of when they think of Big Brothers Big Sisters. It's a pickup. Go pick up, do something fun for a couple hours, whether it's go to a Wolfpack game or go play at a park or what have you. Do that a couple times a month and you're making a huge difference. Just having a conversation and listening to a kid, because, you know, even as a mom who has a two-parent household, you know how the opportunities I have to sit and really hear what my kids have to say is, you know, sometimes difficult with my schedule. And I cherish those moments. These kids cherish it more because they need to be heard. Oftentimes we make a disconnect. Oh, the kids, you know, we talk over them like they're not in the room sometimes. Kids need to be heard.
Absolutely. I think that a child developing their own voice and realizing that it's valued, that their opinions matter, that their interests and passions matter, that's really the heart of the kind of nurturing that we're talking about here.
And if you want to be a big brother or a big sister, like I said, NBBBS. mentorus.org, and you can click on Mentor You. Is that how you're teaching everybody, you know, how to be a big brother or a big sister? There's got to be some kind of learning curve, right?
Yeah. So there are actually two topics you put on the table. One, in terms of training. So most people who show up to us have never mentored before. And after someone passes, you know, basic background checks, we go ahead and provide them with both online and in-person pre-match training. So before you actually get connected with a child, you have a sense of what's important in terms of working with the child, child safety, communications with the family, et cetera. And then, by the way, you're not just randomly matched. You, Mary, would be given a description of the child we're proposing to match you with. The child and parent or guardian gets a description of you. Everyone has to say, yeah, this looks good.
Everybody's got to be on board.
Everybody's on board, and then we match you. So that's the sort of pre-match training we do for all of our volunteers. Mentor You is a program different from the ones we've discussed. It's designed specifically for high school students.
Oh, okay. You know why? Because I feel like, are they harder to match when you get into high school? Is it easier to, is there one that's, that you need more volunteers for?
You know, we have great volunteers who care about kids, and we don't match kids who are older than like 15 and a half. So it's not that so much as this is a unique program that's designed for kids who come from backgrounds where maybe they would be the first in their family to graduate high school and pursue higher education or career training. So it's a blend of e-mentoring and in-person get-togethers once a month.
Because you know everybody likes to text and email more than face-to-face, right?
And it works for the kids, works for the busy mentors. And then there's a curriculum, too, that sort of leads kids to learn about proper planning of their schedules and their how to tie their aspirations to what they're doing, the importance of high school graduation and higher ed or career training.
If you're just joining us today on Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH, we're talking to Andy Fleischman, president and CEO of Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters. This is our Connecticut Big Brothers Big Sisters, and you guys are helping out. What did you say? How many kids this year alone?
Last year it was 1,367 kids.
And let's talk about the importance of mentoring. January was Mentoring Month. We're a little late to the game. You guys just got a very prestigious honor from the governor of the great state of Connecticut. Congratulations on that. You got 2020 Big Brothers Big Sisters Day in Connecticut on January 27th.
We did. It was great. The governor invited us into his office for the announcement. We had little brothers and sisters there with their bigs, sort of witnessing the event. The governor is an extremely warm guy, so he personally chatted with the kids, and I think it's a day that they will always remember. Mm. And the adults in the room, too, candidly. It's not every day that your state steps back to recognize. And the governor pointed out something that a lot of people don't realize, which is, you know, state employees who are a large group. There are about 50,000 state employees. And if a state employee commits to mentoring for 1 year, they get an extra week of paid time off.
Wow.
So that's something that was put on the statute books about 20 years ago. And
so for 20 years, then no, I have never heard of that. That's great.
Yeah, it's a great incentive. So for state employees who are listening, who've been thinking about it, maybe this is, you know, an incentive that helps get you off the fence and think about mentoring.
Absolutely. So if you're thinking about being a mentor, like I said, nbbs.org. And let's talk about the benefits of mentoring. What is this doing for kids?
Well, you know, studies show that there are all sorts of positive impacts. So in the most basic sense, a child who has had a year or more of mentoring is less likely to undertake risky behaviors like experimenting with alcohol or drugs, and more likely to engage in pro-social behaviors, which in plain English means helping behaviors, positive behaviors, going ahead and volunteering in the community, being helpful to a kid who's struggling with a class that they're good at. All those kinds of things that we consider to be good, positive behaviors are more likely in kids who've been mentored. More specifically, kids who've been mentored have fewer problems with absenteeism, typically do better in school, are more likely to graduate from high school, more likely to end up in a career that pays a living wage, more likely to say that they're satisfied with their life and that they can envision a good future for themselves. So you look at all these different ways that you measure whether someone is sort of fully achieving what they want in life, and kids who've been mentored are more likely to get to that place.
And isn't that what we all want? Because when we have citizens who are participating in society in a positive and engaging way, that makes society and our communities better for everyone. So these small steps, hours per month of donating your time and volunteering and being a positive impact, creates a domino effect. You know, these kids take it with them and someday maybe mentor, or it just builds maybe the next doctor who's going to find a cure for a disease, or the next policeman who's going to stop a crime. This is all cyclical, and it's building a better community for all of us.
Yeah, you never know where it's going to go, but it generally goes someplace good. I was talking to a gentleman who is a sort of a leader at a major Connecticut foundation, and talking about ways that we might work together. And he shared with me that he had been a little brother at one point during his childhood, and he felt guilty that he hadn't sort of fully kept up with his big brother, who had moved, I think, to South Carolina. But he, you know, in preparation for our meeting, he looked him up. His big brother is a physician in, I think, in Charlotte, South Carolina. And he was determined after we met to get back in touch with his big brother.
The reconnect,
because he said, you know, it was a couple years of his childhood, but he still remembered this person very well and still felt that the influence that that guy had had in his life had helped get him to this point. He had been a teacher, a school principal, a superintendent of school, and now was a leader at a foundation.
Wow. And that's amazing. Now, there's children out there, how do kids get involved with the Big Brother, Big Sister program? Where do these kids come from? How do you get connected with them?
So it's not hard for us to connect with kids and families, because if I'm doing a show like this, or if we put on a public service announcement that indicates that we have a need for more mentors, we not only hear from people who are interested in volunteering, we hear from families who say, you know, I recently got divorced, or, you know, my spouse passed away and I have four kids, and my kids could benefit from this program. So families reaching out to us is one of our lead referral sources. And we also have connections with schools, and so we'll hear from social workers or teachers or others. And then we have, you know, connections with some other referral sources. Like, we love working with juvenile review boards in Connecticut. Those are organizations that were set up to try and keep kids out of the juvenile courts. Mm-hmm. So a kid has a first offense. Instead of getting pulled into the juvenile justice system, they go to their local juvenile review board, which has
and having that be the impact in their lives, being in the juvenile court system.
The juvenile court system is very tough on kids. Once a kid gets pulled into it, they're more likely to have further problems rather than less. But if a kid gets sent to a juvenile review board and has a plan developed of restorative justice, where they're giving back to the community, mm-hmm, in order to make up for their offense, if mentoring is part of that program, if they're assigned to us and we get to connect this child, who's typically a young teen, with a big brother or big sister, 99% of those kids never have any other touches with the juvenile justice system.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So, well,
wow.
I mean,
that's an amazing number.
It is. And we're really proud of it. And I want to put it out there, because it's just a reminder that, you know, these kids, they don't want to be in trouble. Their parents, they don't want them in trouble, but they need help getting on the right path, and mentoring is just the right type of help.
And you know what? Mentoring isn't just doing something for the kids. It's doing something for the mentors as well. You know, there's a gratification and a purpose in all of us.
There is. I mean, it's funny, when we talk with our volunteers, when I'm you know, hanging around with someone who's just been named Big Brother or Big Sister of the Year, which is something we do annually in April. To a person, our volunteers say to us, you know, I feel like I get more out of this than my little brother or sister.
Yeah. And it's a relationship that you'll take with you for years, just like, you know, some of the stories that you've mentioned this morning. It's important. Kids are important. Kids need to be heard, and not just, you know, what was the old saying? It should be seen and not heard. There's value in our children. It's value in our future. And this is a great way for all of us to participate.
Yeah. And, you know, I think of it also, particularly at this moment in history, when people are getting so glued to their screens, when you're able to unglue yourself from your own screens and give eye contact to a child who maybe has spent a little bit too much time gaming and not enough interacting with other
it's
people.
All of us, yeah.
It's really valuable for that child to know that there's somebody who's ready to just focus in on them and give them that attention.
And you know what? You could use a day at the trampoline park too. You know, and that's a good fun experience. It's exercise for everybody. And you know what? Have lunch and a conversation after. And it really is all it takes. You could go sledding on a snowy day. I mean, there's a million different things you can do that you'll be like, man, I haven't done this in so long. And bring back the kid in you.
Absolutely true. And then, you know, after you've done a bunch of activities, sometimes it's just that sitting time. I mean, I've heard from bigs and littles who tell me that just their tradition of going out for frozen yogurt or getting to get, I was hearing from one duo this week, they love trying pizza places and they go out to all these. But the time that they spend just having pizza together and chatting is really valued time.
And hearing about each other's week. You know, right. What have you done this week? What's been happening in your life since the last time I saw you? What's new? What's the did any part in your week make you laugh really hard? Were there any tough spots that you had a hard time getting over?
Yeah.
You know, just engaging in conversation.
How you think the Sox are going to do this season?
Yeah.
we do pay attention. You know, we try and match Red Sox fans Red Sox fans and Yankees with Yankees.
Yeah.
We, you know,
makes
there
sense.
Are some mixed matches, but in general, we try and respect those allegiances.
All right. No, Mets fans too. Let's not forget about them. We have a divided state in that aspect. Well, it's a great organization. You guys do amazing work. Charity Navigator recognizes Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters as a 4-star rated charity. And in Connecticut's Now Readers Poll, Nutmeg Big Brothers Big Sisters was voted best local nonprofit for 2016, 2017, and 2019. Here's coming 2020. I see it coming your way.
We're working on it.
You guys do lots of great work. And if you are interested in becoming a mentor, a big brother, or a big sister, be a big in a little's life, you can go to nbbbs.org and you can check out all the information online. And if you're a family that thinks you're in need of someone to mentor or participate in a child's life, it's a great website. Lots of information right at your fingertips. And this is how we build a better future for all of us as a community, one child at a time.
Absolutely. You know, it is the case that when you do this type of work and you have kids in the community who now grow up in positive ways and become folks who want to give back to their community, you're not just making a difference in that child's life. You are improving the community more broadly, too.
Andy, thank you so much for coming in. Andy Fleischman, President and CEO of Nutmeg Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in this morning to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH.